Welcome back to the show. Thank you for being along on this Tuesday night. And it is our monthly Tuesday night crime traveler. Ed Prucci is here, criminal lawyer, great friend of the station and of the show. How are you?
I'm so happy to be here.
It's great to have you. Thank you. Before we delve into some location stuff, you and I were just talking off the air. And you were mentioning a tip around travel at this time of year.
Yeah. So this time of year, this happens all the time. Everybody starts asking, oh, I haven't booked my Christmas holidays. I haven't booked the winter getaway. Or I'm looking to book it and I'm looking at the flights. And of course, it's insane. Or you're looking at a hotel and it's insane. You're looking at your resort and the prices are just nuts. A lot of people are unwilling to do this. But if you are at all flexible, and I've got two kids in school. So if their teachers are listening, hopefully they'll cover their ears. But by taking the kids out of school and leaving one day early. That's all it takes. One day and come back one day late. The difference is absolutely astounding. So, you know, this year with Christmas being on the Sunday, right? I think December 25th.
Yes.
So everybody's going to try to get away on that Saturday, Sunday fly-in on those days. If you leave early in the morning on Friday, in our circumstances, we're going to be flying into Fort Lauderdale in Florida. The difference between a Friday 6:30 a.m. flight, and we book these on points, versus trying to take off the very next day is hundreds of thousands of points. And the equivalent in cash. So yes, they're going to miss a day of school. Yes, I'm not going to look, maybe I'll look like parent of the year. I know you're shaking your head. What did you ever learn in school?
I can't roll my eyes back far enough.
I'm conflicted about that, right? Because I hate sending the message to the kids that school doesn't matter.
But the last day of school before the Christmas
everybody's
break,
gone anyway.
They're not doing much.
Yeah, so I didn't hesitate too long when I saw the price difference. So I guess the tip is an obvious one, but click that little flexible on the website where you're at, right? Dates are flexible. And then be willing to look around, because if you're willing to take off a little early, a little bit late, yes, everybody wants to leave at 9 a.m. as opposed to 6 a.m. when we're leaving. And everybody wants to come back maybe at 6 or 8 o'clock at night instead of at midnight, which is what we'll be doing. My kids will be the zombies Monday morning. But big, big, big savings by doing it that way.
Yeah. And I read somewhere today that traveling early is good as well, early in the day, because if something happens with the flight, you still have opportunities to get where
so
you're going.
Yeah, so two things. One, when weather starts to back you up, if you're the 6:30 a.m. flight, even if you're getting off late, you're still getting off before everybody else. And as soon as there becomes a problem, that's a cascade problem. So especially if you know cruises are the classic example, right? If that ship is leaving at 1 p.m., let's say, on the day of your travel, don't plan on being there at 12:30. You got to be there much, much before then, and factor that in. So your flight better be really, really early, because unless you booked it through the cruise itself, you're out of luck. They're going to take off without you.
Wow. We are always checking out some of your favorite destinations, and you have been to St. Lucia more than once.
Yeah, I've been to St. Lucia, I don't even know at this point, probably 4 times in a variety of different ways. So it's been a cruise stop once in a while. But what I love about that island, I'm a huge fan of the Caribbean in general, but of all the Caribbean islands, I love St. Lucia, I think, best. It's got a tremendous amount to offer. So you've got the white sand beaches that everybody wants this time of the year. As soon as the first snowfall hits, that's what everybody's thinking about, but also some really, really lush rainforest. And it's dominated by these two mountains called the Pitons, the Gros Piton, the small, and the Petit Piton, the big and small Pitons. So those are those Sugarloaf Mountains. If you've ever seen pictures of St. Lucia when they advertise it on air, it's very, very iconic, this double Sugarloaf Mountain that occupies a corner of the island. And you can actually hike. Ironically, it's the larger one that is easier to hike. The small one is actually a much more complicated traverse. So we've hiked the Gros Piton, the larger one, and it's really just a tremendous view once you get to the top there. And I think it's got just a tremendous opportunity for any type of travel. So I've done St. Lucia, just my wife and I, romantic couples retreat, very high-end resort, absolutely spectacular, something that you've never seen before. And I've also taken the kids there to a very family-friendly resort where everybody's running around, you know, nuts, and it's certainly much, much more reasonably priced. So I would recommend looking at that for almost any need you have if the desire is just get me the heck out of the snow.
What are the high-end and family resorts that you would recommend?
So yeah, so I'll give you two names. So if you're going with the kids, Coconut Bay is a place that I very strongly recommend, and we've been there a couple of times. It technically is divided between a family resort and an adults only side. So what we would do is actually drop the kids off at the kids program, which was tremendous. So it's basically like day camp. There's counselors there. They will take care of them and run activities from start to finish. And so that gives you an opportunity to then sneak off to the adults only side. So you're not even hearing other people's kids running around. But if that doesn't bother you, they've got a zero entry pool. So those sort of beach entry pools mm-hmm. with a pool bar right in the middle, all right off the beach. There's a lazy river, a water slide. And of course, it's all inclusive. So you've got a variety of restaurant choices, buffets. And very important, if you've got small kids, it's about 10 minutes from the airport. So it's not that thing where you land and now you've got another 2 or 3 hours ahead of you before you get to your vacation spot. Or worse yet, when you're getting ready to leave on that last day, you can be beachside literally 2 hours before takeoff. Right. And
that's a great
just pack
point.
It all up, throw the bathing suits in the backpack when you get on the plane. And so you're getting that last day. And, you know, we talk about this every week or every time I'm on the segment. I want every last second of my vacation, and being close to the airport, as long as you're not right on top of it, which you're not in this circumstance, is actually a plus.
Yeah. And it's no fun doing that 2 hour bus trip with kids when you've got the wedding party all drinking and going crazy, you know,
which always amazes me, too, because you're going to these all inclusive resorts where the booze is included, too. And I've actually been on ones where people insist the driver stop on the side of the road for one of these like cerveza roadside things. They're like, I need to get my booze now. And this is the same person who's been priming on the flight all the way over. And if they just waited another hour, it would be included in all their costs. But people need their drinks.
Yes. And when people go to any of these types of resorts, I know there are a couple of options. And I know you're big on exploring the area. Is it usually a good idea to visit the kiosk in the hotel? Should you do any of that booking ahead of time for tours and things like that?
So St. Lucia is a very safe island. I mean, you've always got to keep your head around you wherever you go, but it's not the kind of place where I think you need to be restricted to the compound. I encourage people to get out. We've driven our own car in St. Lucia. We've gone through the hotel, or we've just sort of made our own way. I think you can do any of those things. It's very simple to get around because there's essentially one road. It takes you all the way around the outside of the island. There's not much sort of centrally located, at least not much that would be of interest to the tourist class, as it were. So yeah, if you want the convenience and you're willing to pay a few extra dollars, your hotel will of course arrange that for you. If you want to save a few bucks though, you can go on the web beforehand, find a TripAdvisor recommended place or something like that. Viator is very common also if you're coming off a cruise.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So that they will give you basically mimic exactly what your cruise ship is going to offer you, but for significantly less money, and you'll be able to get out there and do that too.
I've booked a number of tours with them, and I've also booked transfers to and from airports.
Yeah, so they're really good at that also. And typically you'll see cost savings of about 25 to 30% in my experience from using something like that. And even the descriptions, like right down to what your hotel will say you're going to be doing, they're basically just the generic sort of pharmaceuticals of travel experience.
All right. When we come back, we are going to talk a little bit about tailgating. We've got a special guest here that Ed brought along with him. We've also got more travel tips. It is The Crime Traveler with Ed Prucci.
Listening to The Nightside, hosted by Barb DiGiulio on News Talk 1010.
Welcome back to the show. It is the Tuesday night where we do The Crime Traveler. Ed Prucci is here. Prucci, criminal lawyer, friend of The Nightside, and he has a special guest. Gav Martel is a talented home chef with his own blog. He's appeared on a number of Food Network shows and was a top 25 finalist on the second season of MasterChef Canada. That is so cool.
Thank you.
What was that experience like?
It was amazing. You know what? Just being sequestered with 50 chefs from across Canada and meeting cooks from all around the country was unbelievable.
Whenever I hear of people who have been on that show, they all sort of say the same thing. They're all so modest and just say, I couldn't believe I was in such great company.
You know what? I think that's what's special about MasterChef Canada versus an American show. Just incredible people.
So, Ed, you guys are friends and you guys have done a fair bit of tailgating together. So if there are people listening who are not that familiar with the tailgating term.
Yeah, so I'll tell you why I wanted to bring Gav in, and then I'll let him jump right into the tailgating thing. I mean, as Canadians may not know this because we're so just so far behind, frankly, our neighbors to the south, as it were, on this front. But believe it or not, there are places in the world where you can just grab a beer and grab your own grill and grab your own meat and do what you want with it before a sports game. Toronto is not one of those places. It might be arguably becoming one of those places very, very slowly. But a couple of years ago, I thought, you know what? I want to get into this tailgating thing. But of course, I'm more of a hockey guy than a football guy. We were in Florida, went to the Panthers game, grabbed a Foreman grill and some hot dogs, got stopped by security saying, this is a hockey game, sir. We don't really do the tailgate thing here. But a few hot dogs down the security guard's pipe and we were fine. And I thought that was cool until I started tailgating with Gav. And just this past Thanksgiving, we participated in the Detroit Lions. This is, I think, the 77th year that they have the Thanksgiving Classic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you, I mean, the game turned out to be great, but the game is not the star of the show. So maybe Gav, you can bring in a little bit about this, the keys to tailgating as far as you're concerned, crossing the border, all of that stuff, because I think Toronto is just so well situated to be a space that you can use as a jumping off point for those tailgate trips.
That's right. We're so close to so many great U.S. markets where you can go catch an NFL game and tailgate. You know, you got to do a little bit of planning before and figure out what you want to take down with you. Throw it in a cooler, make sure you declare it at the border. And, you know, we're within striking distance of Buffalo, Cleveland, Detroit, even Green Bay. They're incredible stadiums where the fans are just so excited to be there. They set up at like 8 o'clock in the morning, like you said, crack open a beer, start the barbecues going, and there's 4 hours of a party.
Do you bring your food across the border or buy the food there?
So I always take my food with me from here so I can make sure I have everything I need and get it all ready. I've got a cooler that lasts for 5 days. So.
And no issue with security or customs?
You have to declare everything. That's one tip I'll tell you I've learned. And don't carry anything that has seeds. So no tomatoes, no peppers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No
okay.
seeds. But in terms of meat.
But a whole cow in the trunk is fine.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, they're okay with that.
Okay, so then you set up, or you said around 8 o'clock is when the tailgates start?
That's right. You'll see people lighting up barbecues at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, grabbing their favorite beverage. And it's incredible. The fans are so into the sport, but they're also, you know, this is what they live for all week, is this party that happens before the game.
Yeah, and that's the thing I think sometimes people don't really get in this market. Maybe in Canada the same way. Although with the Grey Cup in town, you'll notice that people had jerseys from all different CFL markets. The teams were not in the Grey Cup, but in other towns in Canada that have CFL football, it's huge. And they'll follow the Grey Cup game everywhere. They have a little bit more of that kind of spirit. But in the U.S., the game is the community. It's the culture. It's everything. It's not just about the game. I mean, if you go tailgating in Buffalo or walk through a tailgate, people are offering you drinks and have come join
right.
us. And
we were offered to step into a hot tub. Now, I politely declined. It was about, I don't know, 5 or 6 degrees. And there were some odd looking folks dressed as pilgrims and one as a turkey, if I'm not mistaken, on Thanksgiving. But they had a hot tub going, a grill on one side and full of water, all of course dyed Detroit Lions
so
blue.
Funny.
And that to me was just so fascinating. Like I went through with my camera and just thought, I've got to document this slice of Americana, right? It was a Lions Vikings game and the king and queen of the Viking tribe, were there, so they called themselves, and all incredibly well behaved. Like I can't fathom this as a Torontonian where outside of, let's say, a Raptors game when nothing's going on, you might see, you know, a dozen police officers just making sure that everything's sort of staying cool. Here we were at, what's it called? The Eastern Market, I think
Eastern Market,
which is
Detroit.
Not even an official locale. It's just where everybody sort of sets up. We saw two cops, I think, the whole time. And people are walking around with their beers. They're grilling their meats. They're sharing the meat. They're tossing around a football. They've got a hot tub, for goodness sakes. There were no health inspectors. There was no chlorine examination or meat inspection. And nobody got out of hand.
Yeah, I saw, I just read somebody who called it the last great neighborhood of America. You know, it's really just people out on the street having a good time. Like Ed said, they're sharing food, they're tossing the football. It's an amazing experience if people want to venture.
So, what was on your menu? I understand it was a little complicated
hungry,
for usual tailgate. Yeah.
Yeah. So the planning for our Thanksgiving tailgating usually starts the day after the game from the year before. So this year we had everything from sausage to lamb chops, massive beef ribs. We had jerk chicken. We had turkey legs.
If you've never had a chorizo sausage before 9 a.m., I highly recommend it. It goes down nicely with your morning coffee. And the turkey leg on the way to the stadium is the absolute way to sort of ring in Thanksgiving,
yeah,
American Thanksgiving.
And then what do? Do you guys stay overnight?
We'll come down for that game, we come down to Windsor the night before and, you know, kind of hang out there. And then we'll drive back after the game. It's only, you know, about 4 hours from the stadium in Detroit. It's just across the border. And also, you know, if you head down to Buffalo, that's also just a couple hours from Toronto.
Have you ever compared it to what's being offered here in Toronto, though? Because I know the Argos are trying to loosen things up a little bit. This was the first year the tailgating actually happened in Toronto.
Yeah, I did. I was invited to go down and check out what the Argos are doing. You know, it's a little bit more controlled, like anything else in Canada. They sell beer, so it's actually pretty affordable. I think they had cans of beer for $4. So you can purchase your alcohol there. You can't bring it with you. But they were letting people bring meat down, set up their barbecues. So they're trying to capture some of that same environment that you get in the U.S.
And does it mimic it at all, though?
No.
It's just not there yet.
No.
How long have you been doing that, Gav?
I've been tailgating for about 25 years now. I went down in high school to Buffalo. And
are the Bills your team?
No, I married a girl from Wisconsin, so I'm a Green Bay Packer fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I'll cheer for whoever the home team is.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a fun time, and it's something I think everybody should experience at least once. Just going to an NFL game is a very cool experience.
It is a very unique experience. It's funny, you talked about how the Grey Cup here, you know, you've got everybody wearing everybody's jerseys.
Yep.
So at this very Detroit game, you know, there were a sprinkling of Vikings fans because that's who they're playing against, but basically 60,000 people in Lions blue. I could not believe it. And there was one guy who had come in from Saskatchewan, all decked out, of course, in Rough Riders.
That's
gear.
That's amazing.
Bright green. And so I see the guy. I call out, Rough Riders? And he's like, man, huge hug. And there's that difference between, I think, Canada and the U.S. to some extent. We'll take the credit on that one. But here's a guy who's like, well, I'm going to a game. My team's the Rough Riders. Doesn't matter. It's the wrong league. It's the wrong country. But I'm still wearing green. And he was just looking for friends.
Fantastic stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
I think the other thing people will be surprised about at NFL games is the lack of the corporate seats. You know, you go to a game in Toronto and the lower bowl are all suits and people with high-priced tickets. And in the U.S., it's the same jerseys, the guys in jeans and you know, just people having a party.
No, it's a lot of fun. And you know what? Very affordable.
Yeah, it is actually. So when you talk about quick trips, that's one of the reasons why I brought Gav in and talked about this thing. You can plan something like this for a group of your buddies. You know, we had 12, I think, people in total, and tickets, night's accommodation before, the meet, all of that stuff. You can probably do a couple of $100 and have just a phenomenal 36 hours. So really an opportunity to say, when people say, I don't have time to travel or I don't have the money to travel, both of those things are not true. You just don't have the creativity. And if you're willing to think outside the box, no, you don't need to fly to St. Lucia, even though I recommend it. but you can get in the car. You can go someplace cool. You can have a really wonderful experience for not a lot of money, not a lot of time.
All right. Ed Perucci, Gav Martel, guys, thank you so much for this.
Thanks, Barb.
Ed, we'll see you in a month.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be on assignment next month, but we'll work out the timing.
We will figure it out.
And I've got some exciting stuff coming for the listeners in January.
You're going to be doing some research for
the
show.
Exactly, on the spot, on location.
I look forward to it. This is a Crime Traveler with Ed Perucci.